We have Leah Daniels. She's a founder of Holistic Journeys. But before we talk about that, firstly, welcome.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you for having me here today.
It's such a pleasure. A lawyer. Why? Why?
Why a lawyer? Yeah. That's a good question. I think it's my personality. I've always had a very strong sense of what is right, of what is wrong. And I think my Achilles is injustice. Injustice absolutely kills me.
You're talking, this is my love language. You need to know. Yeah, it's crazy. And we live in a world where people seem to have lost their moral compass.
Yeah, very much so.
And that's crazy, yeah.
Very much so.
Okay, so you decided to leave. Why?
So I decided to leave. First of all, I've had a passion my whole life of, I've always very much been a person that lives holistically. No matter what I've been doing in my life, I've always chosen to live holistically. I see the power of that, tapping into very healthy outlets in life.
What does holistically mean?
For me, holistic means I don't believe there is one answer or one dimension to any particular area of life in order to bring wholeness and completeness and fullness and richness to a person's life.
Fine.
So, for example, I've always focused very much on the health space, the mind-body connection space. Even when I was in the working world, say in law or whatever else I was doing, I would often in my free time go out onto the nature trails, go hiking, refuel myself, tap into yoga, mindfulness. I qualified as a life coach in the process because I've always been fascinated by the workings of the human being, and I've always used my own life and myself as as the experiential field. Being a lawyer, I don't just take anything for granted when I hear it. I like to explore it for myself and see how it fits into my life.
Read the footnotes.
That's it. So I've also seen that for me, navigating life with nature, with hiking, with mindfulness, with yoga, with good nutrition, and you know, those kind of tools has really helped me navigate life's inevitable challenges and stresses.
Okay, I have to stop you then. I have to ask, if you have a crisis, how is yoga going to help you?
So again, being holistic, I'm going to say to you that yoga is one
Not me,
component.
You.
I will say to myself, yes. You know, it's not, yoga has fantastic benefits, but it's not just the yoga in and of itself. My nutrition is clean. I get enough sleep. I get fueled by nature. When I come into yoga, there's so many other areas of my life that are supporting that session. And yoga, for example, to answer your question, is it focuses on breathing, which is a form of relaxation. One is able to be much more mindful when we are doing yoga. And when you are mindful and you are connected to the present moment, we're able to access a deeper part of ourselves, which is more helpful, which contains more wisdom, more peace, more calm than in any other time where we're not doing yoga. That's why for me, you know, mindfulness, for example, which is very much incorporated into yoga, is such a big focus for me. Because do you know that research has shown that human beings have between 60 to 80,000 thoughts going through their heads a day? That is an absolute insane amount of mind traffic.
Is that recent research?
That's recent research. My understanding, that's recent research. Now, besides the crazy, stressful, chaotic world we're living in, where there is so much distraction, notifications and obligations and responsibilities and pushed and pulled in so many directions, very fast-paced, stressful world we're living in, aside from all of that, we're bombarded constantly by our own mind talk and our own thoughts. And it's very rare that people get space to actually step off this treadmill of life and be able to connect to a deeper part of themselves, where they are able to access something that is the part of themselves that actually enables them to access navigating life with more grace, with more wisdom, with more ease. So I know when I spoke to Taryn earlier, she was talking about, you know, the show being about nature. And for me, just to tie it into what I'm saying, amazing research has been done about the acacia trees, that the minute there's a predator approaching, they secrete a poison called tannin. And not only that, but they actually send a signal to other acacia trees within a 10-kilometer radius that they're predators, and those trees
make the leaves bitter.
Now, more than that, the predators are aware of this, so they avoid the trees. So I've always wondered, this is quite amazing, right? And I've always thought to myself, how do birds know how to build nests? They don't go to architectural school. So when you look...
Some don't, actually. So have you ever seen those little doves? Architects, they are not.
Architects, they are not. Yes. But for birds that are created to build nests, I mean, they do their job. And they're able to do so without going to architectural school or reading books. For me, I look at nature and I think to myself, there's an inherent wisdom in every single form of nature, which is amazing. Look at the human body. And what I'm fascinated by is that the reason that this is so is because everything is connected to the source of oneness, to the source of a higher intelligence. And the amazing thing for me is that humans are also connected to the same source. But the reason we don't fulfill our potential and kind of go with the flow and access the best part of ourselves and bring out our best potential is because we actually get in our own way. And one of the ways we get in our own way is that we just get sidetracked and bombarded by all this constant thought in our head, which is not really who we are. We have inside of us something which is connected to that same source. And when we get out of our own way, when we, for example, do yoga, when we go on a trail and when we go hiking, we are able to get rid of those other external distractions, and we're able to really, really be mindful and conscious and intentional about focusing more on our breathing, for example, in yoga, or on the beautiful scenery in the heart.
I think it's also more than that. It gives us a sense of perspective.
It does give us a sense.
Well, you know, when we are so consumed with our own sense of self-importance, when you go out into the world, when you go out into nature, when you stand and you drive through a mountain pass, you realize how truly insignificant we really are, but at the same time, how powerful each one of us can be.
Exactly. Yeah. And also, exactly what you're saying now, Kathy, is also enhancing my message, because the reason we're able to get that perspective is because our minds do go quiet in those scenarios. We find ourselves to be able to be very much in the moment when we are surrounded by beauty, more so than when we're in the office and we're running a home and we're just navigating life's, you know, daily chaos. And when our minds go quiet, that's when we can access that deeper part of ourselves, which is connected to the same source that birds connect to when they build nests. And therefore, we're able to get insights and we're able to get perspectives and step back and realize, hold on, there is more to life than just the daily chaos. And we're able to tap into a deeper part of ourselves.
Except sometimes the daily chaos, and I say this as somebody who raised two children on her own, sometimes the daily chaos means just getting through the daily chaos. And there's no time to sit and reflect. That is a luxury that a lot of single moms don't have, or single parents, or do you know what I mean? Whatever, we all have different circumstances. But
so I can resonate with what you're saying, because yeah. I too am a single parent, yes. And raised three children. But what I love about what I do is that it's not just mindfulness, for example, and the tools that we access out there is not just for the yoga mats and the trails. These are tools which we're able to take back into our lives. And like anything in life, nothing happens overnight. So with consistency and with awareness and with an understanding of what we're capable of and how we can access this part of ourselves, life will always throw curveballs and challenges at us. That will never disappear.
That's the nature of life.
But the difference is that when we are able to take these tools, which we can be more open to receiving, for example, in nature or at any particular time where we can be open to do so, when we go back to the difficulties and the challenges of life, we can navigate that with more ease, with more calm, with more presence, with more wisdom. And that is the game changer. And that is why I'm so passionate about going into nature and sharing mindfulness tools.
Are you a coach? Do you coach people in all these different disciplines?
So I am a qualified life coach. Piece of paper, but I never formally practiced as
such. Never about the piece of paper.
However, it never is. However, I have been delving more into, and again, because I'm a lawyer and because I'm holistic, what I like to do is, yes, I understand the life coaching world, but I also have done my whole life a lot of reading and research and experimenting in my own life with other tools and tools of mindfulness, for example. And so I like to bring together from various sources what actually works. And so it won't necessarily be an official life coaching session. I would find that explaining what I've just explained in a nutshell and giving people the opportunity to experience and explore this for themselves and bringing in other tools, I found that to be more helpful. And that's part of what I aim to do in my business, is to run workshops. And I recently ran two events. One was a mindfulness hack, followed by a bit of yoga. And at the very beginning of the hack, I brought in some tools and I then incorporated it into the hack. And I,
what do you mean by tools?
When I
mean, I'm big into DIY.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So when you say you're bringing in tools, I'm thinking, okay, so what are the tools, your hiking tools?
So I'm glad you asked me that, because actually now that you say that word to me, I've realized that it's not actually the best word to use. I would prefer to say an understanding of how we humans work, of how we get in our own way, of what we're capable of achieving. Because the truth is that one thing that I've seen in my own life is that I used to believe, like I think many people, that in order to change a certain aspect of yourself, you know, if a person is angry or lazy or whatever the case may be, it can take years and years and years and years of hard work and therapy and undoing trauma. And that was some way that I was trying to navigate my life years ago, and that was material I was reading, and I didn't necessarily find it that helpful. And when I was in law school, I elected to do a subject called street law. And one of the things we had to do was we had to go either into the rural areas or the prisons or private schools, and we had to actually just give a lecture on law, some topic. And I was very drawn to the prisons. So I went into the prisons, and my topic was rape. And I remember researching all the legalities of that. And I stood up in front of these prisoners and started giving the legalities of all of this. And when I walked out, I said to myself, my supervisor was there, she gave me a mark, I did well, but I walked out of there and I said to myself, you know, how is this going to help these people?
You felt the missed opportunity straight away.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, you know, that this, what I did today is not going to help these people while they're in prison, and they're definitely not going to help these people if they ever get out of prison, and it's not going to protect society in any way when these people get out of prison. And I said to myself, I want to find something that is going to revolutionize people on a genuine, authentic level from the inside, that can really find something that can really help them transform in a genuine way. And I want to come back to the prisons with that.
Oh, please tell me you've gone back.
So I'm in process of trying again. My life has been, I actually was out of this country for 8 years. I lived in Israel for 8 years, came back. I've been raising kids as a single mom, went back into the legal world. And now I'm starting this business. And part of my vision for this business is that I want to bring this to the prisons. And I've spoken to people in America who have taken it to the prisons in America. It's been extremely successful there. And that's why it's called Holistic Journeys, because there are so many components of this business that I want to kind of tie all together. And it can be individual or together. You know, if I begin a yoga studio and someone says, look, I just want yoga, great. But if you want a workshop, you know, on a hiking trail or a plane workshop or yoga with a hack, and I have so many passions and interests, and I feel like I've been gifted with all of this, that I believe that is part of my life's purpose to really share this with as many people as I can, because I've seen myself the impact that this has had in my life. And I feel that if people can be inspired to
when we find something good, we want to share it with as many people. I do hear that.
And I think people are generally struggling. I think life is intense, it's fast-paced, it's stressful. And to tap into something which is natural and healthy and positive and good, that can help us be the best versions of ourselves and live life in the most fulfilling, meaningful, productive way, it's to me that is a lot more meaningful than sitting and drafting a contract for somebody, or you know, it does depend.
Contracts can be life changing for people.
It can be, but yeah. For me, I have such a passion in this area, and I have lived it basically most of my life, and I've seen the impact that I've had in people's lives, because I've been for the last maybe at least 20 years, I have like created my own database. It wasn't a business. It was just a favor that I did for people, a kindness. And I would say, okay, guys, I'm planning a backpacking trip in December. Who's coming? Or I'm doing an overnight hike. Who's coming? Or I'm doing a day hike. And even from those groups, I can see, and I've had feedback on the impact that just getting out, connecting with like-minded people, connecting to nature, with or without understanding of how we work. I mean, because nature is very grounding and it recenters us, and people can come to that on their own as well in their own way. And
so I've got a question. I've got another question for you about, and my advice to my children, it's the same advice, is never make your hobby your work. I disagree with that whole thing of, you know, do what you love and you'll never work. What's it? Do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life or something. You have to work, right? There's a discipline in that.
Yes.
And sometimes the work that you do is going to pay for the things that you love. And that's the payoff, right? So if you've taken something that you love, large part of it perhaps, you know, even a hobby element, how are you going to, or how do you manage to keep that balance?
It's an amazing question. And I actually... It took me so long to start this business exactly because of this point. And I have certain role models in my life that have said to me years back when I said, let me do this. And this was be careful of taking your hobbies and your passions and turning it into a business. But through...
Because then they become your business. They're no longer your hobby.
So two things. First of all, it's interesting because I'm in my shadowing hours of yoga now in trying to qualify as an instructor. I actually went to my instructor, the one instructor, the other evening, and I said, you know, I'm seeing such a fascinating thing. Yoga, on the one hand, I used to really come to the classes because it would so help me just to be more present and be more mindful and really just unwind and relax. And then I'd be able to go home and use that energy that I'd gained to continue my life. But now, because I am training to be an instructor, every time you say something, I'm writing it down, I'm recording it, I'm looking at, it's become a different story.
I can never listen to the radio again, ever. Ever. It doesn't matter what radio. I can never listen to the radio. And, I mean, there's things that if I pointed them, I should never be able to listen to the radio either.
I'm sure. But
I hear it.
Part of my research is I'm very well read. And I, not that long ago, actually about a year and a half ago, I read this book by Jay Chetty, Think Like a Monk, and it had a big impact on me because one of the things he speaks so strongly about, we call it in Hebrew your tafkid, in the Eastern philosophy they call it your dharma, which means that when you've been given a passion and you've been given a gift, actually your responsibility to the world is to use it to help people and make the world a better place and to share it. And it's similar to the acacia trees, is that when you come from that place, it doesn't feel like work, it flows. It just flows, and yes, I can choose to get onto, I often go hiking alone because I really do find that a place to really just connect to myself and access that part of myself, which is more helpful.
Question is, why would you want other people to come along?
Well, I want to tell you, I used to have a walking buddy. Every Shabbos morning, we would go for between a 2 and 4 hour walk. And for the last year, I've gone alone. And people say, why? And I say, why not? Like this, Shabbos. This is that's my favorite time of the week because there is no distraction. And I take beautiful routes, which are very, you know, full of trees, and I go find a few off-road paths, and I get a lot of the insights that I get that are so helpful in my life and that I share with people are on those Shabbos walks.
Don't you find that Shabbos has become, it always has been to some degree, but even more so now, more profoundly, that it's become like a time capsule, that nothing that happened before is important and nothing that happens after is important. It's just that moment in time, 25 hours of convening with the creator of the universe and just breathing. It's that moment in time.
It's life-saving. It's literally, it's life-saving.
And until you do it, nobody understands, right?
Yes. Yes. You know, I said to someone the other day, I mean, I keep Shabbos for religious reasons, but if I wasn't religious, I think I would still keep Shabbos because it is just... It really is life-saving. And I think that, in today's time, how many people do make time to go for a walk on the trail or to just step back and introspect? And unless we create that for ourselves somehow, it's very hard to access a more helpful, deeper part of ourselves, and it's very hard to get perspective on what is truly meaningful in my life. Where am I going? Is what I'm doing serving me? So that for me is really it's a remarkable
Leah,
time.
It has been lovely speaking with you.
Thank you, Kathy.
And actually just listening to you, and thank you so much. So how do we get in touch with you? How do we find you? Are you on social media?
I've recently just started a Facebook business page.
Right.
By the way, my holistic is spelled WHOLISTIC.
As in whole.
Yeah.
Well, as in complete.
I'm at the very beginning stages of starting a website at the moment.
Well, just Google you.
Google me, Leah
Daniels.
I am on Google Business. So yes.
Okay, amazing. And just onwards and upwards.
Thank you, Kathy.
I wish you lots
Thanks
of
so
success.
Much for having me.
No,
I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Isn't that fascinating, right? Just absolutely wonderful. Very, very nice. All right. If you want to get in touch with me, you want to weigh in the conversation, anything that's on your mind, you are most welcome to. You can send me a text on WhatsApp on 061-895-1019. Coming up, we've got some lovely music for you. And then around about 10 past four, of course, we've got news, but around about 10 past four, I'm going to be talking to Desmond Latham. He is the CEO of Frey Intermedia, and he's an aviation expert. Now, if you missed the story, there was a guy who was traveling via Tambo, and I think he was on Ethiopian Airlines, and in his hand luggage he had two training hand grenades, and he was just sent through security. Security didn't stop him. I mean, airlines, we can't even take more than 50 mils of liquid. You know, it's absolutely mad. So going to be finding out about that. There's definitely going to be some kind of commission of inquiry, I'm pretty sure. But going to be talking about that. Also, aviation strikes at the moment. So we're going to be talking about Fly Safair.